Hi. So I'm talking about time, and specifically about deep time. So what is deep time? If human time is measured in seconds and minutes, hours, days, years, then deep time is measured in the thousands of years, the millions, the billions. Deep time is geological time. It's the time of rocks. It's planetary time. If you want to think like a planet, you need to think in deep time. So the Earth has existed for around 4.6 billion years. A quick way to get a sense of the size of the scale we're talking about is to, so imagine my arm as a timeline or a chart of deep time or of the history of the Earth. So the Earth begins here, around 4.6 billion years ago. And then think, where does something like, say, the dinosaurs, when do they come on the scene? Dinosaurs, they're pretty old, right? A lot older than humans. Dinosaurs don't appear on our chart until around here. So all of that, and then the dinosaurs. In terms of deep time, these really incredibly old creatures are like our neighbours. And then if you were to take a nail file and pass it across the tip of my fingernail, in terms of our chart, you've just wiped out the whole of human civilization. So deep time, these immense numbers, are things that we can sort of understand intellectually, but that we can't really feel bodily or kind of emotionally. I have a sense of how long a day lasts. I've got no sense of what a million years would feel like. Our brains aren't wired for this, and thinking about it induces a sort of temporal vertigo. To live in deep time is to take the really, really long view. So it's not just what happened last week or last decade that matters, but also what happened a million, 50 million, 500 million years ago. It's about the ways in which the succession of events across those millions of years can be said to explain why you're here right now, in this particular place, in this particular moment. So most of the time we live happily enough inside our human timescale, but sometimes, amongst the daily hubbub, we come across something that reminds us of this bigger, weirder scale against which we might measure ourselves. And when I was working on my book, Notes from Deep Time, I started to think of these things as kind of like deep time portals. So where can you find a deep time portal? Well, if you are going home by train, strikes allowing, go to Waterloo Station, look at the walls of the station, the white stone walls. They're made of Portland stone. And in the stone, you'll find 145 million-year-old oyster shells. Or go to Paddington Station. If you spend some time walking around looking at the floor, if you don't mind looking a little bit peculiar, you will find some long, segmented, cone-like fossils, which are the fossilized shells of sea creatures that lived during the Ordovician around 450 million years ago. Or go to Oxford Street. If you're walking down Oxford Street, the paving stones, sandstone, normal sandstone paving stones, and they've got these ripples. Some of them have got ripples in wavy lines in them. And the wavy lines are fossilized ripples from the current flowing through a river 300 million years ago, somewhere up in what today is the Pennines, where the sandstone comes from. So ripples from 300 million years ago. Glimpses into the deep time past, evidence of worlds that came before our own. One of my favourite deep time portals actually no longer exists. The portal has been closed, but it was on Cambridge Heath Road, and I came across it again researching my book. And it was a building site where people were digging the foundations for what's now a hotel. And if you stood and looked down into the hole, you saw, first of all, you saw something that geologists call made ground. So that's sort of ground up bricks and concrete and tarmac, general detritus of people living in a place for hundreds of years. It's human history, human time. There was about a meter of this made ground, and then beneath it there was an abrupt change. There was then this layer of sand and gravel. And the workmen, as they'd been digging down, they'd gone from the world of human time into the world of deep time, from our world to a world that existed long before humans were alive to see it. And that material, that sand and gravel, had been deposited and compressed around 2 million years ago. And you could keep going down. Below the sand and the gravel, there was another layer of thickly sticky, dark brown rock called London clay. And that had been formed around 55 million years ago, when London would have been underneath a shallow sea, a tropical climate, something similar to present-day Indonesia, palm trees, magnolias. And if the hole had been deeper, you could have kept going another 30 million years, and London would have been covered by a vast ocean filled with ichthyosaurs and plesiosaurs. Another 50 million, and there would have been a tall mountain fringed with forests. Worlds beneath worlds beneath worlds. Millions and millions of years stacked up on top of one another like a deck of playing cards. And being conscious of the span of time necessary to encompass all these miraculous changes, for oceans to become deserts, to become mountains, reminds us that our own allotted span is shockingly brief as individuals, as a species. And that's kind of terrifying. But facing up to it can also be cathartic. And I think many of us have a kind of difficult relationship with time, right? We worry about where it's gone, if we're spending it wisely, how much we have left. Deep time puts things into a temporal perspective. And that can be freeing, and that can be comforting. Also, if we have no concept of deep time, we can't think about things like evolution. There wouldn't be the time for the stuff to happen that needs to happen. We couldn't think about, well, actually, physics, astrophysics, the challenges of climate change. Deep time, the concept of deep time is foundational for all these things. And we can't begin without it. We can't begin to answer the questions, why am I here? Where have I come from? Where am I going? So thinking about deep time often involves the past, right, as I've been talking about. But it also can mean thinking about the future. We know that what we are doing today is going to enter the geological record. Just as that Ordovician sea creature entered the geological record, became part of the rocks. The choices we make today will haunt the deep time future. So in millions of years' time, a geologist, maybe not a human by then, right? Maybe an alien, maybe an evolved cockroach, that this geologist will find evidence of us in the rock layers. Things like radionuclides, pesticides, plastics, crushed layers of concrete. Concrete is an entirely new rock that didn't exist before humans. Changes to the fossil record, extinctions. Techno-fossils, a term for the fossilized remains of a manufactured product. So a Paleolithic flint axe could be considered a techno-fossil, could become a techno-fossil in the future, rather. A power station could become a techno-fossil. A toothbrush. And then also another thing that geologists call trace fossils. So traditionally, a trace fossil might be the burrow of a worm, the footprint of a dinosaur. Not the creature itself, but the trace it left behind. Today, something that could become a trace fossil might be a tube train tunnel. That could fossilize. That could be a trace fossil, something that will say, we were here. A message from now to the deep time future, something living once passed this way. Thank you.